This is a special commission meeting of Friday, March 13th, 2020. So the city manager called this meeting to discuss the virus and potential impact on our city. Let's first begin. Ms. Jacobs, Robin, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Let's stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
You. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Robin. All right, so let's go over a couple things before we begin. It's going to be, the meeting really has only one action item having to do with the manager's emergency powers. But I want to give a little background of where we've been and what's been going on, although I think almost everybody hopefully has been getting the missives out from our city on almost, I think it's a daily basis, right? Which lay out with pretty good detail what has been going on in the city. But let me give you a just sort of an update, so at least we're all in the same on the same page. Over the last weekend, I asked the city manager to, as this obvious, the specter of this grew and grew, to exercise our EOC, which is what we do when a hurricane is coming. And the reason you do that is that things change pretty rapidly, and so every morning there's basically a call with the manager as really the head of the operation and all of his staff, and the commissioners who can be on or their staff who can be on. And we basically go down what's happening that day and at that moment. So that is the best way to respond to one of these things because much like a hurricane, you don't know what's going to happen from second to second, actually. So we've been doing that every morning. And I want to just thank the manager and his team. They've been working very hard to deal with something that really doesn't have a playbook. We are very familiar with how hurricanes operate. We have had them, and we practice for them. There are other kinds of man-made challenges that we deal with. We're practiced. Our police and fire and our first responders understand it. But this is a little different because the science is changing, and the medicine is changing as we even talk about it. And, frankly, the issues that are coming up we're not getting a whole lot of guidance from, frankly. Until a couple days ago, nobody was telling us what gatherings we shouldn't have. There just wasn't anyone giving us that expertise. I asked, and the Department of Health really didn't have an answer, and certainly nobody in the state or federal government was telling us. And we're a very unusual city in a sense that while other cities might have a gathering every now and again, we're set up for it. On a daily basis, organically, we have thousands of people coming here from all over the country, all over the world, coming here essentially to gather organically or in a way that's much more formal. So for us, we have to try to take the challenges that are coming and process that through the lens of a city that not only has all these people coming in, but also has a local senior citizen community, which is really the community that we're most concerned about. People with that are high risk because of pulmonary and other related medical issues. We also are in the middle of spring break, and with almost every college disbanding, there are huge numbers of young people coming home, like my daughters, whose schools have both canceled classes. So all of this is happening simultaneously, and we're trying really to figure out what decisions to make in a city that has always been a hospitality community, but obviously can't be a hospitality community when we are dealing with this kind of challenge. So we went into basically an EOC mode over the weekend, and on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and this morning, we had our meetings where a lot of things that were going on were being discussed, not just the declarations that you've heard about, but details about how we're reaching out to our seniors, details about how we're cleaning our trolleys, details about what we do under certain circumstances. And all of this has been run by our manager, whose job under our charter is to run these kinds of things with the advice and counsel of his team and anyone else he can draw upon. At the same time, we've been in extremely close contact with county officials who have provided whatever guidance they can. But there's a lot of limits to this, frankly. I mean, one of the most frustrating things for me has been that the testing issue poses a very specific threat in a sense that We were just talking about this a few minutes ago. If a fireman, goes to a call and later finds out that there was a person who was positive, then all the firehouses that were at the call are going to be out of service for us. And how does a city that has burnings and paramedics needs, how does it deal with a whole slew of first responders out of service? So we were trying to find out whether we could get more tests, so we might be able to test our first responders at a moment's notice to see that they could stay in service, because the worst thing that could happen, or one of the worst things, is if we lost the ability to have our police and fire doing what they're supposed to do on a life-saving and protection. So these are the kinds of issues that are cropping up almost every minute. And I do want to thank the manager and his staff. They've been working around the clock. They have not been treating this in a cavalier way. They're treating it, I believe, the way every resident would hope that they're treating it as, very seriously, trying to take what guidance we can, but I have not been particularly satisfied that the guidance from the state and feds has been as helpful as it could be. But then I recognize that to a certain extent our city is different than most, and a lot of people are trying to figure out the playbook as they go along. Today, we actually are only going to really have to vote on a single item, members. And I want to also thank the commissioners. A lot of you have been on these calls, and you've been really helpful. I think that the staff has been very grateful that we get a lot of information from people who are wondering about things, and it's important that we pass that on, because whether it's being addressed or it needs to be addressed, that information needs to be in the hands of the folks that are in charge of this response. And so in these calls and informally throughout the day, I know that Jimmy has been receiving a lot of information, as has his team, that has helped guide a lot of what we're doing. We're trying to do the best we can, but it is a very, very daunting, given how complex the city is in this area. The other thing I just say to the commissioners, thank you for all your cooperation. This is the manager's job, is to do this. So while we're going to have a commission meeting today for the sole purpose, really, of addressing his emergency powers that can only stay in force, I think, until tomorrow. Is that right, Raul?
Yes, it's 72 hours.
Yeah, we're here really just to extend we have a declaration, his emergency powers under our charter, so that he can do what needs to be done without calling a commission meeting every few minutes. You really can't oversee this with a group of elected officials trying to vote on every little issue, because frankly things change so quickly. That's why we have a manager, and that's why we have a manager forum here, so that those decisions can be made promptly and quickly and not in such a brittle and way that it makes very little sense. So we're really here only to extend it, but I thought since we're here we could talk about some of the other issues, although most of these issues are being talked about throughout the day and they're being talked about regularly. I see a lot of folks from the entertainment, from the hospitality industry here and from the service industry here, and I just want to say to all of you, I know we are very proud of our hospitality industry. We're proud of our service industry and those that work there, and we know that this is an incredible economic burden, not just on we talk about it as an industry, but they're people, real people, some of whom are not working, some of whom will not have enough money for rent, some of whom will not be able to do what they need to do for their families, and they've been part of what we do as a city. And so I just want to say to all of you that are here, I know a lot of you represent them or are them, thank you, and we know this is going to be a huge burden. Hopefully there'll be some kind of relief at some point. But to a great extent, our decisions are guided by healthcare issues and nothing more or less, frankly. So going forward, we're going to continue with these morning meetings, but I guess what we'll first do today is talk about the manager's emergency powers. And we have a resolution before you.
Mr. Mayor, did you want us to give an update of any kind?
Why don't you go ahead and give us an update because as of this morning, it feels like 100 things have happened.
I want to thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, and thank you. These are the challenges we work for in these kind of positions. These are the challenges we take on. So I know, and I'm proud of the team. We have been working hard, but as you indicated, there's not a playbook to this, and unfortunately, this is not like Zika, for example. It's a very different type of phenomenon, although things we learned there were helpful. As you know, we in the early days of this, we were before Wednesday. You know, sort of, to me, everything is before Wednesday and after Wednesday. Before Wednesday, we were really trying to balance a strategy of, on the one hand, engaging in preventative activities, you know, our facilities, et cetera, protecting our employees, putting out information to our residents, and at the same time making a clear message that we were open for business because there were no cases in Dade County. There were no declaration of emergencies by the mayor of the county, and we felt that given an economy as heavily dependent as we are on hospitality, we certainly were not going to put up the no welcome sign. Not that we have now, but we certainly weren't going to do it then. Wednesday was obviously the day that the WHO declared a global pandemic. The president closed the borders to Europe, air flights. The mayor of the county did declare an emergency. You know, the NBA decided to postpone the playoffs, and we can go out down the litany of declarations and announcements and information. And we got our first case, obviously, here in Miami-Dade County. So that was the day, really, we began to pivot in our strategy. And for the next couple of days, what we tried to do was follow the best advice of the CDC and the Department of Health, and that was to look at, number one, look at our at-need, highest at-risk populations, our seniors and special needs. And we've talked a lot over the last couple of days, as you know, about addressing their issues at the congregate living facilities, cleaning our trolleys to their best, et cetera. One of the updates, obviously, this morning that we presented was that, I think it was last night, the county mayor ordered the closure of all senior community centers, congregate facilities. So that means there'll be no more congregate meals. The one that we're most involved with, obviously, is Unidad. And what's happening now with all of those is that today the seniors are all receiving 5 days' worth of what they call shelf-stable food for next week. And starting Monday, each of the centers, whether it be Rebecca Towers or others or Unidad, are going to work in terms of doing also food delivery. We are going to work with Unidad, and Maria Ruiz and her team have been working with them to transition to a delivered meals model commencing next week. We are even going to make available fire personnel and community services personnel to assist in whatever way we can. We are, you know, prior to yesterday, we had canceled all programming and our other senior programming, but now with the closure of Unidad, we will be doing the same. And really, the position that I think the state and the health department are taking with our elder citizens is really to try to limit exposure to the greatest extent possible. My own mother, for example, who's at a Jewish home, they have actually, as of noon today, closed the campus. Not even family can go visit. And so the message I think that the state has been sending is really to stay in and limit exposure, and that we're going to sort of carry that through in our interaction and protection of our elderly residents. The trolley measures, I think more than anybody else, not only do we have wipes on the trolleys, not only is the vendor cleaning them twice a day, but we also probably by the end of today will be implementing a program with some part-time folks that will be actually cleaning the trolley inside every, you know, two or three runs so that we can have as frequent a cleaning as possible. We were hoping to do it every run, but depending on the length of the cleaning, it could really impact service, but we're going to try to do the best we can there. A couple of interesting we did get our second case in Miami-Dade County. I think this was the individual up in Bay Harbor that I'm sure we've all read about. We're up to 42 cases across the state of Florida, still no new deaths, fortunately. One piece of information that came out recently, and I want to be sure folks have got it, is that now added to the high-risk population are pregnant women. And so I know we're going to adopt our, you know, look at our HR policies, our fire rescue protocols and 911 protocols. But obviously, as you know, one of the things with this issue is constantly changing, very fluid. Almost every morning at 8 a.m., overnight, we've received new information since we all went home the night before. And this was a new piece of information. We expect that at 3 o'clock today, the president will declare a national emergency. The value of that to potentially us and other communities is that that would free up about $42 billion in disaster relief funds that would come via FEMA from the Department of Homeland Security. We would obviously be very proactive in chasing whatever share of that we can, including I know there was an $8 billion bill that went through the Congress with funding, and I think the state has also set aside, I believe, about $200 million. So, and we're already working on relief and recovery issues for small businesses and cultural institutions. We did take the actions. The CDC has indicated that 250 and above is sort of the event size that you're focusing on that you very strongly are being encouraged to cancel and not have anymore because that presents a high-risk situation. Over the last 2 days, we working with our cultural organizations and our facilities, we have done precisely that. So the Fillmore, the New World Symphony, et cetera, large events at our museums, although the museums will be open. I think the Jewish Museum chose to close, but and open and like our Botanical Garden. But all those cultural events, any special events, festivals, our activation on the beach for spring break, we work closely with Pride, and they postponed. We also with Miami New Drama, and they're not going to be opening tomorrow. But hopefully, like Broadway, they could maybe try to reopen in 30 days if possible. So that was our focus over the last couple of days with our cultural institutions, our festivals, things we were sponsoring, again, to be as responsible as possible. But obviously, we also have to look at the private sector and commercial side, because we did see across this country, I mean, the NBA, the Masters Tournament, I know locally – Liv and Disney and Universal have closed. Locally, I know Liv and Story decided to close. I believe the opening of Inter Miami, the first soccer game of the season. So a lot of folks have been doing things, I think, quite responsibly. One thing I do want to point out, because, you know, we did have the individual in Bay Harbor is a Parks employee who apparently worked at their after-school program up there. And had contact, I think, with some children at Bay Harbor Elementary. And I think we all know by now the school board has closed that facility. I don't know for how long, but that school is closed. That has raised a question from a lot of folks about the degrees of separation that one needs to worry about, you know. Just literally before this meeting, I know Alina, myself, and by the way, I forgot, Alina Tata Hudak is our new assistant city manager and obviously a long, distinguished career at the county and was point person at the county, not just for Zika, but for many hurricanes. And so I have asked her to be the point person on a lot of our efforts here. And she's been – this is her four-week anniversary, and I think she's been baptized, I keep saying, by fire and Purell this month. But we had a call, and, Mayor, you were part of that call with the secretary for the Department of Health here in Dade County, who made it very clear that it is direct contact only and within a proper distance. So the fact that you know somebody who knows somebody who was in the same room with Mayor Suarez – does not mean that now you should stay home.
But that's what they're saying is the metric we should use.
Right.
It may not be the metric that medicine uses.
Well, this was the medical officer, chief officer
but I mean,
of the Department of Health.
By the way, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I did want to recognize our county commissioners here.
I'm sorry.
Higgins, thank you very much for coming. We appreciate your presence and all the work you do for our residents. Go ahead.
But I know a lot of people worry about their own personal safety or the safety of their children or employees. I mean, many businesses out here who have employees, what are your HR decisions? And because we've had employees who'd have that, you know, 1 degree of separation or 2 degrees of separation. And I think it's an important message that at least our health officials are telling us that unless, you know, the person had direct contact and a meaningful contact. You know, if you were at the convention center on one end and they were at the other, that's probably not meaningful contact. But that's what should govern. Don't be worried about the 2 or 3 or 4 degrees of separation. And I know for us, we were having even HR questions like that. So I wanted to make sure, because I know there's a lot of concern in the community, if my kid knows a kid who knows the kid, that kind of thing. And understandably, people get worried. So that sort of provides an update of what we've been doing. Alina, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Manager and Commission, Mr. Attorney. Mr. Clerk, I think you've done a very good job, if I do say so. Obviously, Jimmy and I have been together through all of these meetings and briefings, and I think at this point, what I'd like, just at the risk of being repetitive, is for the public that's watching and that hasn't had the benefit of participating in the conversations that all of us have, is to reiterate that all of you have before you LTC that gives you a very comprehensive review of all the activities that we've been engaged in as a city. It provides for you attachments that give you the information that we've been distributing internally, so you have access to all of that, and we've been sharing that on a regular basis, on a daily basis. From our perspective, public safety, obviously the number one priority to make make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect our public, protect our residents, to protect the tourists that are here. Our fire and police department have done everything required of them to be able not only to protect our own first responders, but to have the protocols in place to be able to discern when a call requires the appropriate protocol to be referred for testing. And we've been informed of those, and we know what actions to take as a result of those types of phone calls, just to be almost ahead of that notification that we would get at some point down the road. In addition to that, the elderly have been a top priority for us, and we've been working. The fire department has done an outstanding job of working with our Department of Housing and Community Affairs to be able to establish a master list of every facility on the beach that touches the elderly. Not necessarily anything that's within our jurisdiction, but just any facility that in any way touches the elderly. And they have directly touched those facilities, for lack of a better word, and visited the facilities with outreach materials, both in English and in Spanish, that have been provided through the CDC guidelines and mitigation strategies. So there is a very proactive approach, and has been for over a week at this point, to be in constant communication, in addition to what we all know is happening, which is, you know, the traditional television outreach, social media, everything that everybody has access to. We want to make sure that those that don't have access to that are receiving the information firsthand. We've even gone as far as to offer to go door to door if we have to, and there are buildings that have asked us to do that, and there are buildings that have said no, that's not necessary. We are in the process of developing a program so that we can do direct meal delivery, working together with our Housing and Community Affairs folks and our fire department. We know for a fact that our Rebecca Towers, our building, actually has a very vibrant program with Little Havana Activity Center, and they are actually in very good shape for in preparation for that. We also know that Unidad, we are working very closely with them and preparing to assist them with meal delivery. The only other program that we've heard from that needs our assistance is the Jewish Community Services, and they're having some difficulty with meal delivery on Monday, and the manager verified that we are going to, in fact, support them in whatever way we need to, and we're in the process of working through that. The only other thing I would say is, in addition, again, to the things that you know, is that I need for everyone to please keep in mind availability of resources and the challenge that we're facing from the perspective of materials. There are many things that we want to do, and then there are limitations to our resource capability and our ability to have even access the materials. But we are in queue to receive everything and anything that we need, and whatever we've stockpiled and whatever we have available, we've put out on the street. So, for example, yesterday I saw a correspondence from a citizen that said, in fact, that we did not have wipes on the trolleys. And we made sure, and we did random sampling last night to make sure that our trolleys had the wipes. So in addition to what we're doing day in and day out in terms of the direct service, coordinating with our vendors, making sure the elevated sanitation is happening in all of our facilities and in our trolley, we have taken it upon ourselves at the manager's direction to hire additional staff and put them on our trolleys and make sure that we have created our own mechanism for ensuring that elevated level of sanitation. We know that we're going to have internal issues, and we are, as we speak, at this very moment, our staff is together trying to figure out all of the different configurations of staff protocols that we would have in place if we found ourselves in a situation where we had employees that needed to stay home, and that was obviously impacting our direct operations. And we are, after this meeting, reconvening with our directors to address some of those issues and some of those strategies to really have a continuation of operation plan in place. This is very different than a hurricane, and while we have all those plans in place for a hurricane, we are tweaking them to make sure that we can deal with the disease aspect of it. In addition, as the mayor and the manager both mentioned, we very much want to be in queue for any money that is available from the federal government. We are very concerned about our small businesses. We're very concerned about our large businesses. This is something that's going to have a very real economic impact to the city of Miami Beach. And the mayor yesterday signed letters to the congressional delegation to, again, make sure that everything that needs to be done from our perspective to be in the queue for and to be considered for those funds is in place. I have pages and pages and pages of notes, and I don't want to be repetitive. outreach, communication is critically important to us. Our website is fully mobilized. We have a link to every piece of information that anyone could possibly need. We have a daily e-blast that goes out. There's a message from the mayor and the manager in English and Spanish. And in addition to that, we're doing numerous contacts with the media that are here and asking us for information. We're providing that information to anybody that needs it. I can tell you from my personal experience and my one-month anniversary here that this city has a very dedicated team of professional people, and under the manager's leadership, we're working 24/7 to make sure that whatever needs to be done is done and that we're proactive. Always balancing the fact that we have limited guidelines and we're not doctors and medical professionals, but we are using the CDC guidelines for mitigation strategies that are available to us, and we're using common sense, and we are consulting with our medical director and our fire department, and we're consulting with those experts that we think can help us. And there isn't anything that we've done that we haven't called. All of the CDC guidelines tell you that it's your responsibility to consult with the public health director for your community. And that's what we do. We pick up the phone, and whenever we find ourselves in a situation where we don't know what the right path is, we pick up the phone and we call the Florida Department of Health for that guidance.
Jimmy.
Just a couple of things I want to add, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, by the way.
Thank you, Lena. Number one, with respect to business outreach, as many of you know, on Monday we hosted a sort of hospitality industry meeting at the convention center, particularly a lot, hundreds of hotel managers, to talk about how they can engage in preventative measures. They were given a lot of information from the CDC. The Department of Health was there speaking, and they had a lot of questions and whatnot. Just today, I spent about an hour with the board of the Visitor Convention Authority to talk about, now post-Wednesday, the things that are happening and what we're doing, and we talked a lot about how we're going to recover from this and relieve and whatnot. I do want to let you know that we've also, with respect to the residents, we've taken some measures, because obviously as we're trying to promote the concept of social distance, which is so critical. We did notify all the advisory boards that going forward, those meetings will be telephonic. If they want to have them, at least for the next 30 days, some have chosen to cancel, but they've been appreciative of the fact, because obviously it's, again, bringing people together in this current context. We reached out to the Homeowners Association's presidents to indicate, number one, encourage them over the next 30 days perhaps not to have meetings, because sometimes they have very large crowds, and that going forward, as a way of protecting our employees, we will not be sending employees in person if they have one, but we'll participate telephonically and be glad to provide written information. And I will tell you, without exception, they've all been very gracious and understood. And I think even last night, the Normandy Shores group decided it was probably best to cancel their annual meeting. So folks, I think, are being very responsible and responsive in that regard. The item before you today, under our code, I can issue, as I did yesterday, a declaration of emergency, which invokes certain powers. It's only good for 72 hours. Obviously, this is not a 72-hour pandemic, but under state law, there is a 7-day window, and what the item before you today is to at least extend it for 7 days, which gets us to the next Wednesday's commission meeting, where you all could revisit it. And as you know, between now and then, a lot can change on this topic. Just because I always want to be transparent, of the six items that are listed in there, two of them have to do with alcohol sales, two have to do with gasoline and explosive material sales. One is a curfew item that I have no intention at this point of utilizing. I did during the hurricane, if you remember, because that was a necessity. And unless things go in some other direction that I'm not aware of, I'm not. The sixth one, though, is the one that's very relevant. It gives me the power to, if I want, close public halls, public assemblies. I've talked about the 250-person number from the CDC. And so it would be, and as a transparency, even though I've invoked it already, as I mentioned on a call, my concern is that while we're doing this with our cultural facilities and we're seeing a lot of large events canceling, as a tourist economy, as a hospitality economy, we have a lot of venues that well exceed 250 persons. And that's a high-risk area. And so my thought here is, in fact, to say that any facility with over 250 occupancy, that's a restaurant or a club, can either close or could reduce their occupancy to 249 or below. So if a restaurant wants to reduce it and open business, a club could do the same. But to stick with the notion of 250 or higher, because that's what we've been doing with cultural facilities. That's what a lot of others have been doing. And like I said, some in the private sector have already taken that. But I think the notion that we're not going to be responsible as, so many other, Disney and Universal closed. And I'm sure it's a big hit for them and their employees, but they thought that was important. And I think we also probably need to lead by example. So that would be what I would intend to do, but that's the item before you. It's not that item, but the power itself.
Okay, so this is does this have an item, Ralph?
It does not, but if you wish, I could read the title.
Let's read the title.
It is a resolution of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, authorizing the City Manager to extend the duration of those discretionary emergency measures that the City Manager deems necessary to address the COVID-19 pandemic in order to protect the public health, safety, and welfare, and which may be implemented during this state of emergency beyond the 72-hour time period set forth in Section 26-35 of the City Code for a period of 7 days commencing March 12, 2020, and ending on March 19, 2020, provided, however, that upon request by the City Manager, the City Commission shall extend the aforestated 7-day period for 7 more consecutive days at the Commission meeting of March 18, 2020.
I need to, before we, thank you. By the way, Commissioner Richardson is participating by telephone today. So I just wanted people to know that he was here, although not here. All right, so that's the resolution. Any discussion? First of all, is it moved by somebody? All right, so we can do questions. Go ahead.
You calling in? No, I'm in favor of this. This is a very serious time, and I think that we have to act through one person, and the appropriate person would be the manager. As this moves forward between now and the next commission meeting, how will the public know if you invoke any of these additional emergency powers?
Well, I believe under the ordinance there's a process of how I have to provide notice and whatnot, and that includes press release, an LTC, mailed to all media. Ro, why don't you go through how I have to do that?
In order to enact the emergency measures, the code under Section 2634 requires that that as soon as practical, that it be filed in the office of the city clerk and delivered to the appropriate news media for publication and radio and television broadcast. It shall also be published by other means, such as by posting and loudspeakers. So obviously, we'll also put it in the city website. We'll issue an LTC and whatever means we need to get the message out. But at a minimum, we do have to post it with the clerk and publish notice.
Okay. And I assume we're also doing the, sort of what we do with social media and all the other ways to make sure that it's not just the formal ways, but everything we can to get the word out.
And we would also reach out to the bids and any neighborhood agencies that would be impacted by this, et cetera.
And just to confirm, would it also be in Spanish as well as English?
Yeah.
Okay. And if this pandemic worsens, which I'm hoping it won't, as we all are, and you were to invoke some of the more stringent powers, the curfews and what such, how would that end up being enforced?
Well, my understanding is that actually a violation of these would actually be criminal violations. So am I correct, Raul? I think these are criminal violations of these.
Alec? That's correct.
They're not code items. Because they're emergencies, you don't want to have to go to a special master to.
No, of course.
That is correct.
That is correct. If for example, first of all, we're going to give facilities the opportunities to self-police and act on the honor system in order to keep their occload down. If a facility is exceeding its occload, the fire department does have the ability to go into the facility. They don't need permission, and worst case scenario, they can either reduce the occload themselves or shut down the facility. Okay. I'm prepared to support the resolution. I have other questions, but not related to the resolution.
Let's talk about the resolution. Thank you. Anyone want to talk about the resolution?
Ricky? I have a lot of thoughts, right? So I'm supportive, but I just want to make clear what we're embarking on, which is if we're going to be looking at, and I'm sure you're actually going to do it. It's not theoretical. You're going to do it. You're going to close or ask to close any building that has occupancy of 250 or more. So, I mean, would that include hotels? Because the hotels, just with their employees, have more than 250 folks.
Go ahead.
Right? I mean, how does it kick in?
We're looking at BTRs for clubs and restaurants.
But if the public health matter that we're trying to address is number of people, why does it matter whether it's a hotel or a restaurant?
Well, because I think it's number of people in sort of an open space where they're able to interact. I mean, a condo building could have 500 people in different condo units. I think the issue there, and I don't know if Virgil or somebody can help me, but I think it's an open area like a club or an open restaurant, because remember, this passes by breath and whatnot. That's the issue. If you're in separate units, hotel rooms, condo units, office spaces, then I don't think that would be
I raised, you know, because there's, you know, let's be clear what this is partly about is during spring break to try to control some crowds, you know, there's going to be, you know, an effort to close nightclubs and bars, whatever. But we have to look at other establishments. Joe's Stonecrabs, for example, has way more capacity than 250. We're going to have to close Joe's. And let me finish. And others, right? I mean, you know, a Publix. I mean, I was just at Publix. You know, yes, it's a bigger place, but when everyone's checking out, I mean, everyone's in the same spot. So we just have to really consider this if we're going to start doing it. Because then if we're going to start enforcing it, is it the best use of our police and code to be doing this in this time? Question. You know, the other thing is that I want to talk about separate from this, since we're all together, is, you know, what happens in the event our first responders start getting sick? We know that's going to happen. That's a guarantee. What measures are we having in order to prevent us from losing our first responders, right? So once one or two get sick and they came in contact with the rest of the department, right now the standard is self-quarantine. You know, we just don't know who's sick and who's not. You're contacting with the public by the very nature of your work. What happens there? I think, unfortunately, we're going to be within a week, two at most, looking at a curfew, possibly martial law, right? I mean, this is how it's progressing in every community worldwide. We have to prepare for that. You know, and I don't want to be focusing on just closing restaurants and clubs. That's going to happen. What's the next phase in thinking ahead? And then, by the way, we should not be doing this anymore. We have to start thinking about having, for purposes of quorum, four of us here, because as Raul, correct me if I'm wrong, under state law, because of sunshine, we need a physical quorum present,
which
would be four. The minute one of us gets sick, we've been in proximity, what happens? So, you know, I'm the most optimistic guy in the world, really, but we do have to prepare for all this stuff. So the nightclubs and stuff, it's a minuscule issue. The bigger ones are what happens to first responders when they start going down, what happens when we can't get a quorum.
If I could just address first on the first question, you know, because a big segment of our economy, sadly, but also our footprint is restaurants and clubs and bars, I think it is a big impact, because remember, we're not just 90,000 residents, we're millions of tourists, and that's, we got to protect them as well because we interact with them, our seniors. So these are places, and that's why you think you've seen a lot of venues like the arena, amusement parks, stadiums, you know, basketball arenas, because that's where large groups gather. So I think we're following in that trend and that lead, and I think it is a first step. I completely agree with you, Commissioner. We hope and pray we don't get to the next phases. Obviously, if the trends continue, we might. What the hope here is that by acting strong at the beginning, we hopefully, and I think you sent around a picture, we sort of flatten that curve. And that's, I think, what we're trying to do, is flatten that curve of growth. If we are unable to do that, you know, would we have to look at more closures? I mean, Italy today, I mean, everything's closed, bars, restaurants, schools.
Everything.
I'm not even sure they have public transportation open. China did the same thing. So we're trying to avoid getting to that, but we all have to recognize this is that kind of threat that I think all of us want to do whatever is necessary. And I'm fairly confident that businesses will self-police. The reaction I've gotten from the cultural organizations, for example, is like, you know, getting a shot, you know, vaccine. You grimace, but you know it's the right thing to do. And I think we're going to get – my guess is that's going to be the reaction we get. Because at the end of the day, the sooner we end this, the sooner we can come back to business. I mean, one of the other realities is people aren't coming. Tourism numbers are down. Visitors are down. The hotels have said that to us. When I met with Miami New Drama and we told them they were going to be shutting down, they said – you know, a few days ago, they were selling 150 tickets a day. Now they're selling four. So part of it is that until we sort of lift this cloud over us, we're going to all be hurting for a long time. So I'm hoping they embrace it in the spirit of this is what we need to do to get back to normal. On the issue of our employees, Commissioner, you raised that this morning on the call, and we've been doing a lot of thinking about it. We're not fully there yet, but different departments have different approaches. We've looked, for example, at our in-house internal departments, and we're looking at whether we can sort of rotate shifts, and 1 week one group works and then works another from home and vice versa, so that we always have at least 50% of the people could be available. God forbid somebody gets diagnosed. I think with first responders, we may have to take a different look at that. But, I mean, there are 21 motor cops from Miami are all taking a self-imposed isolation. I'm not sure if they're overreacting or not, but they're doing that. And that and losing 21 motors must be quite a hit in Miami. We do want to avoid that, and so we are working on that for sure.
Before I get to it, Michael, let me just say to what you just raised. I call everybody I can in government. They're available to me. I call them. I say, give us guidance on this. I ask them. And one thing that is incredibly clear to me is that there is no metric that anybody is relying on that is tried and true. 250 is just some number, frankly. And I don't know whether it's the right one or the wrong one. We're trying. I've asked. I sent an email over the weekend. I just said to the state DOH secretary saying, could you tell me which gatherings? I'm in a city with a lot of gatherings. Which gatherings should I close? They said they would get back to me. I'm waiting. Okay. And I guess the point is that we're a little bit in the dark in a sense that we're trying to make our best judgment to the 250 for the clubs. I think what Jimmy said was, well, we'll just tell the folks that are more than 250 to stay at or under 250. It's the best we can figure out at this time, and whether we're right or wrong, we won't know. Some of the concerns I have, and the biggest one I have, there's two really. The one that you just mentioned is the penultimate one, which is the continuity of government. I don't think, because of the nature of this challenge, and I just had this conversation half an hour ago. We all were in a room with the county secretary, and asking basically what happens when a firefighter or a team of firefighters from different fire stations come into contact with somebody with it. What do we do then? And the answer would be, I think, well, they will go out of service. Probably their stations will go out of service, and we'll wait 14 days. And I said, well, can we test them immediately? Well, we don't have the test kits yet. Well, if we did have the test kits, would that solve it? Well, if we tested, they could still be positive because the antibodies don't kick in immediately, so we wouldn't know. I said, well, can we test them every day? Well, we don't have the test kits. So there are, and I'm not quite certain they're right about the antibodies. I talked to another doctor right after that call who said, no, it tells you immediately. So these are questions that are going on everywhere in the country. We, I think, have them more acutely here because we do have all these organic crowds here that we're trying to tamp down, and we do have a senior citizen committee, which is, to me, the biggest concern we have. I am very worried about our seniors. I am. Thank you very much for taking on a lot of these other things. Like, they shouldn't be probably on the trolleys, but nobody's told us that. No one has said your senior citizens got to stop public transportation. I worry about it because the trolleys have 13,000 people a day take them. Half of those people are tourists, the other half probably are senior citizens. And the idea that they're all touching the same surfaces all day long is frankly frightening to me, because the greatest threat we're going to have clearly is if one of our beloved centers developed this, because we saw what happened in Washington. So we're doing more. I think we need to make sure that they're, as inconvenient as may be, that their goods are brought to them, that they're not communally eating and all these things. But we need to get better expertise on that. And I know you're working mechanically on how to figure that out. And I'm very glad the trolleys have been a concern to me for a while, that we're going ahead and doing stuff, even though the county is doing it after every circuit. We're adding to it because our trolleys are a little different than, I think, other people's mass transit. But there's no playbook for this. But the continuity of government is the challenge for us. And I appreciate Commissioner Earle raising our continuity of government. I think probably a little of equal or greater concern, obviously, is police and fire, because they're actually interacting with our residents, including our vulnerable residents. And I don't know that medically or scientifically there's a way to know when one of our own people has contracted and is then doing what we've asked them to do, which is to interact with senior citizens. So this is really a vexing problem for us. if we had more testing, it would, frankly, if I had one message to send out to other people right now in government, at other levels of government, I'd say we desperately need to be able to test as much as we want to test and as often as we can test, because the flumes of this virus need to be known, especially so that we can keep our governments protecting and preserving our safety, especially to our vulnerable populations. And right now, I'm not convinced that's the case. We are this close to losing a lot of our first responders. And I don't want to sound like the sky's falling, but that is something that could happen at any moment. And if it does, I think we'd be in a terrible place. Commissioner Gongora.
Thank you. I appreciate those comments, but this is a temporary emergency measure because we're dealing with an unprecedented global pandemic that nobody has ever dealt with before, that's growing at a rapid rate. So I think that these emergency powers are warranted to get us through this difficult time. And we have another commission meeting coming up this coming week anyway, where we can address this issue again. I don't know what the number is, if 250 is too much, too little, but that's what they've come up with, and I'd rather err on the side of caution in this time than otherwise. And I assume we're going to move forward past the resolution, but I will say this, for the business community, I'm incredibly sympathetic. I'm incredibly empathetic for our small business owners and for our workers that live week to week or month to month, that rely on tips and hospitality. And we're going to have to think about what we can do for them, because it's going to be incredibly difficult for all of us, but especially for people that are going to feel it in their pocketbooks. But with regard to this specific resolution to extend your powers, I don't think we have any other choice, so I'll move it.
It's been moved. Is it seconded?
I'll second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, nay.
Aye.
Thank you.
I wanted to add, because there is one other, you talk about the congruity of government. The other big item, and I see some parents out there, is what the school board does.
Right.
Because when the school board closes, it's a game changer. Because now parents have kids home, working parents, particularly are struggling. And obviously many of our employees, including first responders, are working parents. So that also is one of those issues, and we're going to monitor it very carefully. Because what also raises the question, if it's not safe for kids to be in schools, then is it safe for them to be in our parks, right? It raises a whole other set of questions, but I just wanted to make sure that's on your radar screen as well.
Okay, I'd like to bring up a couple other quick items. Go ahead.
I just throw it out there. And are there any doctors in the audience? I don't know, because I've reached out to a couple of doctor friends to confirm. I don't know yet, but I've been trying to research and no one's answered the question. Do you develop, once you have the coronavirus, assuming you make it through, do you have immunity? Some doctors have told me yes. To the extent that that is true, might we start thinking about, is dangerous but bold, it's like a chicken pox, thank you, with our first responders, voluntarily, taking one for the team, going through the 2 weeks. Guys, we've got to be serious about this. And then developing the immunity.
We'll get an answer.
It is our job to think boldly. We got to start thinking about this.
We will reach out again to the Department of Health. We also, I know, we work with the chief medical officer, I think, at Mount Sinai. We will reach out and try to get an answer. I don't know that answer. We will get an answer on that question.
Commissioner Samuelson.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. Now that we've passed that resolution, which I think is the right thing given where we're at in this process, I want to tee up a couple issues that my colleagues, one on each side, mentioned. One is communication with the business community. I, too, am very concerned, have great empathy for our wonderful hospitality industry. And I believe it's important that we have a mechanism to engage with the Chamber of Commerce, our BIDS, the Ocean Drive Association, the GMCVB. There's a gamut of issues all the way from safety and hygiene in the restaurants. Employees that could be temporarily dislocated, our small businesses, and also how this issue evolves over time. Potentially, unfortunately, it may get worse. On the other hand, there will be a time, I believe, where it will get better. And those phases have different responses. So I know we've done a great job, and I think our daily calls have been very productive, but I'd like to tee up one idea here that we more formally connect with the business community. Perhaps they could set up a working group and the administration could, on a very regular basis, sort of engage with them. So I'd like to offer that as a thought, Mr. Manager. I don't know if you have a initial reaction, but I think we need to do something more so that we're getting the expertise from the business community and they're getting the latest information.
Let me jump in there. I have been thinking about this. Thank you, Commissioner Salmon. That's a great idea. I'm sure the manager is going to agree with you. But I had actually thought about something that we could do. I think there's probably no community that has this sort of hospitality kind of nexus. And one thing and the Congress is obviously going to be talking about a lot of different ideas, and I thought about reaching out to you and to you and to you and to you and saying we ought to be coming up with ideas that would actually on a city, or not so much even city, but actually county, state, and federal level, because at some point they're going to develop something like, you know, it's going to be an incredible effort by the federal government, certainly, and state government to prop up an industry that's going to be severely damaged by this. I don't think anybody thinks it's not going to be. And it wouldn't be a bad idea for us to come up with some of those ideas with our congressmen. And I was thinking about sort of reaching out to our Shalala and others and to say, why don't we start, because each of you probably have associations that are thinking about what would help your workers, to help your businesses, and we ought to be in that marketplace of ideas with things that we know would work for us, because I don't think there's a whole lot of other communities that have the experience we do in this and therefore would be able to offer the antibodies to this terrible thing that's going on. So what I have been thinking about, and I'm glad you raised it, was actually us organizing that kind of, it would probably be telephonically initially, but some kind of meeting. And I was going to reach out to some of you who have federations, because I'm sure your federal folks are coming up with ideas. Well, we would like our businesses and our workers to have their experiences reflected in whatever remedies come up. The federal government's going to have to spend billions of dollars in this area to figure out what to do. There's going to be a lot of bankruptcies. Unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of out-of-work people who have defaulted on everything from rental payments to mortgage payments to car payments. So a lot of this is going to happen, and the federal government's going to have to figure out how to deliver relief at some level, I'm assuming. We ought to make sure, given the fact that we have this in such concentration. So while I like the idea of reaching to them, I actually had also hoped that we could develop an agenda that we promote in the county, state, and federal level to say this is what we could use right now, because they're going to do something and it ought to reflect what we need. And I'm sorry to interrupt. The question was directed at you, Mr. Manager. Whether you like Commissioner Samuels.
No, it's fine. Like I said, we've been doing outreach and I would have no problem during the pendency telephonically so we can have our social distance. But I do think that would be a great, great idea. I don't know if the commission wants to name some names, or we can certainly, I think we know the list of usual suspects here that are very involved, that we work with, and we'd be happy to form an informal group and meet, talk. We should probably talk weekly, because things move so fast, maybe even more depending, you know, as breaks, changes occur. So we'll work on that.
That's great.
I wanted to talk about another issue.
Mayor, can I get my second issue?
I'm sorry.
Thank you for that, and thank you for building on it. Those are excellent suggestions, and I appreciate the manager's quick response. I think this will be really, really helpful. My second thought, a little more tactical, we happen to have two committee meetings scheduled next week, Land Use and Sustainability, which I chair, and then Commissioner Arriola has finance on Friday. I think given the discussion, and my colleagues write to me, and the need for the administration to focus on more urgent matters, my recommendation, at least for my committee, is that we reschedule and not have it. I've also heard from some residents that were concerned that they couldn't be here or participate in a meaningful way. So I'd like to reschedule the land use meeting.
I was going to talk about the next item was sort of continuity and administration of our meetings. So our committee chairs, commission chairs, you're talking about commission committees.
Correct.
They can abridge, curtail, or call off a meeting at their whim.
That's correct.
Okay, so I would just say this to the committee chairs. I trust all of you. I trust everybody. So if you want to have no meeting or if you think there's something that is time sensitive to have one item, that's your call. Okay, so you don't have to. And by the way, we can the commission meetings cannot be done telephonically. That's correct, right?
Yes.
They have to be in person.
Commission meetings, as of now, you need a physical quorum, as Commissioner Arriola said.
Committee
commission meetings. No, we can do those telephonically.
So you can, but I appreciate your concern about Jimmy's staff. But if there was an item you wanted to hear and not hear the other 20 because they weren't necessary, then simply notice what you want to hear. That's your call as the chairman, and we'll do them. I think, though, can everybody agree that we have the ability to do them telephonically if, for instance, a committee chair wants to have?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you can do them telephonically, but it's your call, and just let everybody know. Commissioner Gongora.
Thank you, and I agree with all of that, but I think if we're going to cancel it, we should do it today because people need to know what they're doing. The meeting is Tuesday morning at 8 a.m., right?
If you can do it telephonically, I'm fine doing it telephonically.
All I'm saying is you can do that today, but I haven't looked at the agenda yet.
We can
do it.
No, no, I understand, but what Commissioner Shellman is saying is that he doesn't want to take all the committee staff
right for
a whole day, and I appreciate that. So all I'm saying is that I take Commissioner Gongora's point to heart. You want it today, let everybody know, but why don't you go over your agenda and decide if there's anything that must be done for a reason. We do have some items that are that maybe, I don't know that you have any of them, that we may want to be putting on a ballot, and there's always time constraints for some. So take a time to decide, but very promptly let everybody know, and we can do them by telephonically, and you can, if you wanted to just do one item, you can. All right?
Mayor Gelber, I have a question,
yeah.
And I saw Tonya jump up. If we do the meetings telephonically, we have to provide for public comment. So are we set up to provide for public comment telephonically? Because if not, we should postpone.
The technology exists. I don't know if we use it, but it exists.
Technology out there for it. Have we ever tried it? Are we well-versed on it? Absolutely not. Are we willing to jump in and figure it out? Absolutely.
You have an hour.
Well, I mean, on any conference call, the chairman, what they do is what we do now, is like we ask everyone to be on mute, mm-hmm. and we will take turns, and the chairman will run the meeting. And then the public will comment, and you just got to run the show.
Correctly.
Yeah.
There is
technology out there where you could put yourself in queue.
Right.
Right.
Right. There are, and we have looked into that. There's a telephone town hall technology that we've looked into. And like right now, Commissioner Richardson is on a conference call, and that's how we have him in, and he is patched into the system. So we have the technology.
Conference call
out.
Technology, amazing. I'd like to recognize Commissioner Richardson, who wanted to speak.
Thank you, Mayor. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Perfect. Hey, let me just add a couple of things. I'm glad we're talking about the meeting because I raised this in the workshop last week about how we would convene if we started getting sick. And I know that Raul is staying in touch with the state in the event that more than a quorum is sick. Actually, I came to Tallahassee this week to work on things. The truth is I got hit with a mild cold on Tuesday. And in the abundance of caution, I just felt like it would be better for me to participate by phone. I have no corona symptoms, and I know that would be of people who had that question. And I'm already feeling much, much better, and I'll be at the meeting next week on the 18th. While we're talking about changing a few things, I just had a couple of things I wanted to raise. Since we're talking about social distancing, I had a proclamation I was going to present on the 18th. I am going to suspend all proclamations for myself in the chamber because I think that if we're going to be serious about social distancing, we should. That's something that we can do. And so I'd like the commission to consider that question. And if we can just not do proclamations in the chamber, if individual members want to do them on their own at smaller gatherings, but I would suggest that. And then the other elephant thing I would like to do is, you know, the stock market has been very, very volatile. And at some point, I think we need to hear from our CFO about how the uncertainty in the market could affect our unfunded liability on our pensions. And that's not something we need to talk about today, but we just need to at least to put that on the radar for everybody. So I just wanted to bring up those other things. I'm glad I could participate by phone, and I'm glad we're doing this resolution today. Thank you.
Commissioner Minor.
I just wanted to raise the conversation about what if things were to get a lot worse in Miami Beach. And specifically, and I think we kind of touched on it, if our police and fire were to be exposed and we, God forbid, potentially lose their ability to protect us. So this is an issue that I've talked to several physicians who work not only in Florida but also in New York. And here's a suggestion that I've heard and read about also in the paper is potentially having in place a drive-through testing where people don't have to get out of their cars. They used it in South Korea. I believe they're using it in Denver right now. And the reason why that comes up is because hospitals, one, are at risk. People are potentially exposing many people if they're going to an emergency room to get tested. And they're also exposing doctors and nurses who would then be out of pocket. The other thing is the reality of, and our hospitals and doctors are very dedicated, and I don't mean this in any negative way, but the reality is our hospitals are businesses. And there's a disincentive right now that I'm hearing from my physician friends who tell me this off the record. There's a disincentive for the hospitals to want to test patients because, one, they could potentially expose their health staff to the virus, and then they'd lose their capacity to work. And two, the hospitals don't want to be known as the sort of the coronavirus testing place because it's not a very profitable endeavor, and they're potentially, and if people find that out, they're not going to go for the other services where hospitals are profitable. So it's a disincentive a little bit for the hospitals. And then we have the second aspect, if we were to send police and fire who are now exposed to people. So which got to thinking of potentially thinking ahead of whether we could implement a drive-through where people would be properly, and this would assume obviously we get the proper testing kits, but that is a big if. I get that, but assuming that comes, you have the drive-through. People are the testers are well protected, and the people driving are staying in their cars, so they're not exposing anyone else.
I think we're talking to the same doctor.
Well, it's actually, yes, it is one, but I've actually spoken to several. I also want to just, and I'll dovetail too, we talked about the seniors. I did get a call from somebody who's affiliated with one of the senior facilities, and I guess they were saying that they may, and I know we've talked a lot about these things on the phone calls as well, but potentially providing gloves and masks if they want to utilize them. The trolleys could be an issue. I know many of the seniors are expressing that they're concerned about taking the trolleys because of the amount of people that are on them. Also, just mention, and we talked about this as well, but just bring it out. I don't know if we really touched on it too much today, the youth programs that are going on. Obviously, kids, it seems that, thankfully, are not actually coming down with the virus, but they are carriers who are then exposing their family members to it. So that's just another issue I just wanted to bring to the table.
I'd like to – thank you, Commissioner. I'd like to talk about the agenda next week for a second. Commissioner Richardson raised it. We have a long agenda next week, and I don't know – I'd sort of like to do some triage on it. I don't need to do it all in here. I don't know that we should even do presentations and awards. I think we should just agree not to do them next week. Does anybody – can we – And the other thing I was going to suggest is to have Michelle meet with everybody to go through all these items to see what we can take out. I don't know that we should have a very long meeting. I think the more items we have on the agenda, the more people will feel like they should show up, and there we're sort of defeating the idea of what we're all trying to accomplish anyway.
Yeah.
So if there's
Mayor?
Yep.
Yeah, I think all non-essential items should be postponed. And I would categorize it that way, essential versus non-essential.
Okay. So instead of doing this right now, is everybody okay with either you can let us know or we'll reach out to you, but either way, go through the agenda. And my intention is not to have presentations and awards next week. But for the remainder of the items, and I would just say this, if there's an item that looks like it's going to be referred and you're going to pull it, let us know now, because that will just make us decide whether it's essential or non-essential. We don't have to even decide if something's essential or non-essential if it's on the consent agenda and it's simply being referred. If it stays on consent, that's about a one-second discussion, and it's over. If you, however, want to discuss it, then we will then have to decide whether it's essential or not. Okay, so if you think something, if you want to get something on consent, that's the way it ought to be. But if you're going to take something off consent, please tell your aide to let Michelle know, and then we'll let the sponsor know that they have to decide whether it's worth the time we're going to spend on it. Yeah.
Just real briefly, I'm happy right now if you could let FDOT know to suspend the 9 a.m.
item. What I did is I told them to send the PowerPoint to us so okay. we could – I took care of that one because I think we'd anyone else have any – yes.
I have a question. You know, we've been doing the morning conference calls. Do you have any of them scheduled during the weekend since things seem to change hour by hour –
we were going to have an internal one on Saturday and Sunday. We didn't want to impose on you all on the weekend, but we can certainly.
It's a polite way of saying you'd like a break from us.
No. But we can certainly, if you all want to have a call, we can set that up. That's fine.
Listen, I think it's important, whether it's a commissioner or an aide, we get a lot of information. I get so many emails, so many texts from people making suggestions. Some of them are, you know, I can't do anything about. I've gotten a lot of texts. They want me to close all our schools. That's not what we don't have that authority. But on the other hand, I feel like it's helpful to pass that on to you, which is what I usually do, because that information, whether you act on it or not, is certainly, I think, part of your mosaic.
Right now we were scheduling a 10 a.m. call for staff Saturday and Sunday, so we could do one at like 10:30, 10:45.
Whatever you
like
want. We'll
By the way, I've just learned that in about an hour, the school board superintendent is having a press conference, so we could have a lot to talk about tomorrow morning.
Yeah. I mean, it is changing. You know, does anyone else have anything else?
No, but you may want to, while people are watching, tell everybody what numbers they should call. Right now, do we have a hotline set up and all that information?
Well, we for the city, which goes in our call center, it's 604-CITY, 305-604-CITY. And then I know for sort of health and medical type questions, because it's the DOH hotline. And what is that number? Do you know off the top of
your head? Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know that off the top of my head. It is posted on our website, and there's a direct link to it. And
right on the front page
it is a 24/7 hotline, but we can certainly get you that number. Do you have it? 1-866, for the benefit of the public that's paying. I'm watching, 779-6121. So 1-866-6121.
And a couple last things before we adjourn. First of all, to anyone watching, this goes out every day, and it's a full inventory of what we're doing. If you think we're not doing something we ought to be, then you ought to email us and let us know or reach out. We're happy to receive anything. And the only last thing I would say is that, ironically, we are a city that, and this commission has been very vigilant in creating communities as a sort of an idea that that's what makes us special. And it's unfortunate that at this moment in time, we have to create the kind of social distancing that divides and almost eliminates in many situations. I always say, I don't care what your community is, whether it's your shul, your dog park, your Pilates course, or Joe's at lunch. That's your community, and you have a right to it. But we're taking, these are times where we're going to have to do things we don't want to do.
Mr. Mayor, there was one thing we forgot to talk about. We talked about commission meetings and commission committees, and we've dealt with advisory boards. We have land use boards.
Ah, yeah.
We have planning board in March and then April meetings. So,
okay. What are the, Raul, what are the legal obligations for the land use boards in terms of their meeting requirements?
I met with Tom, and I was also in contact with Coral Gables. I'm talking about planning board, DRB, and HPB.
And board of adjustment.
So for people, that's non-commissioned
board of adjustment. Because these boards involve quasi-judicial matters, which require swearing in of witnesses, cross-examination, taking of testimony, what I would recommend is at least through the month of April that we cancel the land use meetings. I don't want to have any issues raised that would give rise to an appeal or that would, that would damage, so that somebody could raise a procedural due process issue. So Coral Gables is following the same procedure. I think it's prudent, and that would apply only as to those land use boards that all hear quasi-judicial matters.
Is there anything on the agenda that's frightening?
May I?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Just before we start canceling everything, In the same breath that we're talking about trying to help our local businesses, a lot of these, not a lot, some of the things that we need to decide on do impact economics and the businesses, and they do need clarity moving forward. So before we start canceling willy-nilly, maybe we try to focus on ones that really do have an immediate impact. You know, you've got businesses out there that are really relying on a final decision from us, and keeping them in limbo costs them money. So, you know, if we're trying to help local businesses, let's try to identify those that critically need our help, and then have a meeting, get it done quickly, and then we can adjourn. But let's not postpone things forever, because it does have an economic impact on business.
Right. My recommendation was just for the month of April, you know, and then we could see where things are. Again, the only reason I was trying to be prudent was I don't want any objections raised in the event that testimony is taken, witnesses are sworn in, that somebody was deprived of procedural due process that could essentially impact on the city.
It could slow it down even further if we do some kind of half-done telephonic thing and somebody appeals, then it could slow it down even further.
Exactly.
So if there's any, like, specific items that we have to hear, I haven't even reviewed the agenda very carefully yet, but there's nothing that I looked at in the titles that I thought needed to be done. If there is something, then let's address it.
Let me make this suggestion, because I appreciate the ideas. I don't think we're talking about doing it telephonically. That seems to be an unavailable possibility for the reasons that we're mentioning. So what is the drop dead for the notice for these meetings?
Well, the March Planning Board meeting has been fully noticed. The April DRB HPB
meeting. When is that meeting?
The April.
March meeting.
The March Planning Board is March 24th. It's a week from this coming Tuesday.
Okay.
And then the April meetings have been noticed, but we have a provision in the code that allows those to move to the next scheduled meeting. This is what we do during hurricanes. Typically, if a meeting is canceled in September, then all the agenda items are moved to the next month.
Do we have to cancel the meeting, or can anyone, or can you all?
Typically, for land use boards, for something like this, we're seeking your input on that.
Legally, who can cancel it, is my question. Ralph? Who legally cancels the meeting? Do we have to, or can we just let the administration do it?
You can give the direction, but that would be Tom.
Can
and
we
we'll
leave
post
it to
the
their discretion? If there's something vital on it, they can have a meeting for an item, or they can cancel the meeting instead of just. Since we have a week from Tuesday, there is some time to give.
We can go through the list and identify things that maybe are business sensitive or time sensitive, and
Ricky raised a legitimate point.
Right.
So we don't need to make this decision now, and nor do we actually have to make this decision at all. You can make the decision in your judgment. I trust it, and look at the agenda and figure out maybe the parties will want to say this is incredibly important to my future, in which case you can decide you want to have one item. I don't know, but that all is possible, right?
Don't forget, yes. We do have a meeting next Wednesday, so we could just do it as late as next Wednesday if you want us to bring back a list of what we think would be heard.
I'm comfortable with you all reaching out to whomever you need to and making that decision. I just don't want to do it blindly at this point, and I don't know what's on the agenda, nor do I know the impact it would have on the people that are behind it.
We could bring back a status to you on Wednesday.
Whatever
I think that's probably the best.
You got it then. All right. Okay.
Can I just make a comment, Mayor, before you adjourn? On the comments that you made and Commissioner Samuel made about getting the information out to the community at large, and Mr. Manager, the Chamber of Commerce would be happy to work with your office. Any either telephonic messages or written message you would like us to communicate out through our email communications to all of the businesses, we're happy to do that, and we'll work with your office.
Thank you. All right. Thank you for coming in. No, it's not a public forum. Thank you all for coming, and we are adjourning the meeting.